Log Talk Radio.
It's time for Driving Me Crazy, coming to you live from Beechtree Studios near beautiful Pinehurst, North Carolina. This is the only show where a husband and wife drive, talk cars and life, and still love one another each day. Here's John and Laurie. Or is it Laurie and John? Oh, take it away, you crazy kids.
It's Laurie and Johnny, and Johnny is...
putting on his sign, he got it on, so he's here.
He's here. Good morning, Hezzy. How are you today?
It's perfect timing, John. You're always...
Hey, it's hard to get dressed for the radio show sometimes. That's all I can tell you. So.
Johnny wears a tie every day. He wears a tie every day.
You know what the listening audience expects. So
that, and especially really, you know, looks great on a Thursday morning at 10, so that our much beloved listening audience can see how he respects you by dressing up. It's a radio, Johnny, but you do look great.
Yes, thank you.
You know, you could hear it. You could hear it in his voice. There's a timbre in his voice.
Well, that's
what I
explain, Johnny.
Perfect.
That's why you do.
I'm sure I told Hezzy, but yeah, when you work for yourself and you work at home, you have a tendency not to get dressed like you used to when you went to work every day in the public. And you know, I wore suits and ties for 30 years, and then I thought, well, you know, I'm doing all these things, and you don't bother to dress up. And then one day it dawned on me that I'm still a professional. I work every day. So does Lori. And we're professionals, and it does something to your psyche when you get up in the morning and you get dressed to go to work. Work can be in your house and be in your office. But I get dressed up because I feel better about myself when I look like I'm supposed to look in the job that I'm doing for myself. So I just feel better about it.
And that's exactly what Lord Grant. And that's exactly what Lord Granton did in Downton Abbey. He got dressed up every day. Actually, he had somebody to dress him every day.
Yeah, and he changed like tuxedos twice in the evening.
And, you know, that's an interesting thought. I mean, I was being funny, actually, but now I'm not being funny because, you know, there was an ex – well, my mother – it boils down to something my mother always said. People – your first impressions are the ones that count, and people always judge you on how you look, how you dress. Mm-hmm. And I commented to Johnny, this was actually very interesting, when we were flying last week, and we both noticed that in the airports we were in, which was Raleigh, Washington, Ronald Reagan, and Portland, Maine, that everybody was well-dressed. And I hadn't seen that for such a long time. People were, for a long time, especially during COVID, when, you know, travel was actually still happening but restricted, we're wearing pajama pants and, you know, slippers.
Yeah.
But maybe we just hit a high, but people were really well dressed. And even if they were wearing a tracksuit, say, it was a designer tracksuit and they were really well put together and everybody was clean and well kept. And it was kind of neat. And I think that Johnny's absolutely right. I'm right. How people perceive you is important. But likewise, Johnny's
right.
You're
always right, Lori.
Well, that's true. Thank you.
Hey, you've broken the code there.
Thank you. Thank you for that. But, you know, Johnny's also right in that when you dress well, you feel well. You feel better about yourself.
Yeah.
And so, which is why I'm wearing a sweatshirt and some pull-up pants today, but I do have mascara on. So there
she did her eyes up for the show. Yeah, for putting on a tie.
So that our listeners can see how nice my makeup looks this morning.
All right, talk about the car.
Okay.
All right, we had too brief a pleasure to drive yet one of the few cars that I ever say I wish we owned this one. And
we only need about a 10-car garage so far.
So far. And that was the Infiniti. The new Infiniti QX60.
Yeah.
What a beautiful, beautiful SUV.
Full-size SUV.
It was gorgeous. And so that's the end of that review because there's nothing more I can say. Everything about it was gorgeous.
So
the look, the drive, everything.
When you brought that up, actually, I was thinking the same thing when I looked at the styling of it all. And I realized when we go back a decade easily, since they've been producing that line for about a decade, it seemed that they really came in very strong and they developed and evolved to such an unbelievable extent. They seemed to almost lead that aspect of the car business. You know, they are really top notch somehow. It really eclipsed everybody, seemingly, to me.
The thing, I agree with you, the thing that I wrote about in the review, which even after I wrote the review, I kept thinking about this, and that is, you know, most of your SUVs are basically truck-type bodies that they've put a full shell on.
Right.
Okay. Well, in my review of the QX60, what I said was, which I think is very accurate, is they designed what this powertrain, what this chassis is supposed to be. What are we trying to accomplish? Let's look at it not from all the amenities that we know we can put on the car, but what are we trying to do here? And so you wind up with this vehicle, and of course, the big thing that I pointed out, and I'm really always get excited about, you know how many of these they put a four-cylinder in and then they turbocharge it or whatever?
Exactly.
And it's always underpowered. This one is the big V6, like the 3-liter or 3.5-liter V6. It's a big engine, and it just, you know, it's made to tow things. They designed, hey, this is going to be a vehicle that works. Okay, so they made it so it could work, and so they designed around that. You got, I don't have my notes in front of me, but it's like a 9-speed transmission. So they've married all these things together that really work. And then they said, okay, now let's build a really incredible luxury inside and a very attractive outside that follows the Infiniti name. So the outside, when you look at it, it's different. It's different than other SUVs. It just looks different. And you look at the back of it, and the back of it is more that squared look like you find on a Land Rover or a Range Rover in England.
Mm-hmm.
It's really distinct. And then you open the door, and what are you greeted with? All this leather-lined and quilted. So there's lots of stitching and lots of color. You know, this beautiful tan color that was in ours. And it's all stitched and quilted, so it's very soft looking. And of course, anything you can think of to put on a big SUV, they've got on there, the heated and cooled seats, and they're everywhere, not just the front and the back. And again, this one has the massage feature in it. I still, you know, I'm thinking, I'm not sure I want to go down the interstate at 70 miles an hour with the massager going. Somehow I just think I could be too relaxed to drive correctly in those kinds of situations.
You know, Johnny, we were just talking about how dressing up makes us feel better about ourselves, and driving in a really beautiful car makes us feel better about ourselves, too. I think a beautiful car makes us drive more beautifully. What the heck? But this is the thing about this car. And when you mentioned the quilted interior, this is a beautifully made car. But the thing that amazes me is that the MSRP starting price is $47,000, which for what you get is, yet again, phenomenal. It is just got all the bells and whistles. Now, the one that we drove, of course, was fully loaded at 63,000. Okay, that's 20 grand more. That's quite a bit more. However, it was worth it. I mean, large screen, infotainment screen, and GPS. The dashboard
12.3 inch. Is that a 12.3 inch? It's the size of a small
notepad.
Notepad. Yeah, that's right in front of you on the right that you can use for.
The dash was leather lined. The oxblood leather that we had in our car was, as Johnny said, quilted. To me, what didn't make it softer, it made it more luxurious. And I think that's actually the mantra of what Infiniti has said about this car. They're calling it the, quote, reimagination of luxury. And they achieved that.
Well, and I put a picture in there, and there's a little, and then, silly me, I didn't mention the the inset to the picture, which is that the 2022 Infiniti is got the title of Best Premium SUV at the 2021 Newsweek
Auto Awards.
Yeah, Auto Awards.
2022.
Mm-hmm. 2022. The best premium SUV.
And it looks it.
That's
it
a big deal.
It behaves
it's,
that way.
It really is a big deal. Oh, back to the power.
Before you move on, is there some sort of a societal culture that we see in the Infiniti line? You know, because it seems to differentiate itself, let's say, from an American vehicle, a British vehicle. Is there something Japanese about this that we maybe I didn't recognize before? But it seems there's a need for excellence, and they really put it into the Infiniti line more than anything.
Somewhere
else.
In our previous shows and in our previous conversations, we talked about the Japanese philosophy of top down, bottom up, and there's a name for it. Gosh, it'll come to me in a minute. But the whole Japanese philosophy, which started years ago in building of these vehicles, was you start whoever is the first person that works on the line. He does not give whatever he's working on to the next person unless it is 100% correct.
Yeah.
The second person has the same philosophy. What I'm given to me is 100%, and I will give it to the next person 100%. And the whole idea was
it's called the Japanese concept of Ma.
No. Well, yeah, but it's total quality management. That's the name of the system. Total quality management is based on from the top that says you, who are my worker and are working on this, don't give it to the next person unless you are 100% sure it is the correct thing. So top is committed to it, and then everyone in the organization becomes committed to it, and what you have is a product that then when it comes off the line, you know that you are proud of what you are selling. This is an example of that.
Well, let's go back to the roots of the deal. Infiniti, of course, is the luxury brand of Japanese automaker Nissan, and it came into existence in 1989. Now, in response to your comment about luxury, it took a little while for them to gain some momentum. They came in with a big bang. I remember when Infiniti was introduced, everybody was curious. But I seem to feel, at least in my opinion, that what they Japanese did, what the Nissan designers did with Infiniti was to fashion themselves after the European luxury brands, not the American.
Mm-hmm.
We really didn't have a whole lot going other than Cadillac back in 1989. And we had, we had Mercedes, we had the European brands coming out with these incredibly stylish cars.
Was it the Land Rover that was
at the
helm at the time?
Where
people looked? I think the Land Rover.
Land Rover was, and remains to me at least, in a class by itself. Because Land Rover is the original, country life, British country life car. And it's tall, it's boxy, it's a Land Rover. But I think that when we started to see some of these SUV concepts coming out of BMW, out of Mercedes, that we started to, the Europeans started to create this luxury, look for SUVs. And Infiniti, my feeling is that they still look to the European makes. I'm not going to even say that because I don't think they need to anymore. I think they've established their own niche.
Yeah, they have their own.
And so you can't say there's a massive, following. I mean, Infiniti's been around for 33 years, but it's not like
it's still a niche market, I think.
Well, it's not like Cadillac, which has been around for a century. So you don't have a kind of brand loyalty that you would have for an older, a Mercedes or anything of that nature.
But I would bet you that the people who buy them do develop a brand loyalty. I guarantee you this particular vehicle and kept it for 5 years or 10 years or the rest of our lives or whatever, but if you kept it for 5 years, You're not going to go out and look for something different.
Yeah, but here's the thing, and this is where I may be speaking out of school, but once again...
You're not in school.
I'm not in school, but once again, you've got a situation where, compared to some of these European brands that are coming out with that class of SUV, you get a lot of bang from your buck from Infiniti Ton.
Yeah, I agree, but again, when you compare it to the European... There are not many large European vehicles. The Range Rover, the Land Rover, those things, the Country Life, yeah, that's where you see those. When we've been into Europe several times. How many big vehicles did you see? None.
That's because they don't have big roads.
Yeah.
Right, and they don't have big
exactly.
parking places, and they don't have big streets.
Exactly.
And
they don't have big garage.
It's true enough,
but listen, honey, but here's the thing. I'm going to ask you the question, Hezzy, you too. Is the leader in developing the large luxury, medium to large luxury SUV brands, is it Infiniti? Is it Hyundai? I mean, who's doing this? We are, but it's different.
I think the Americans were the ones that led it. Didn't the Americans lead it? But I think there's
Suburban was the first one.
When we look at the Japanese. Yeah, absolutely. You're right. It's Suburban.
Yeah. Well,
so we led
and
it,
Suburban
I think
was
we're being eclipsed somehow.
Well, when Suburban came out, it was the most popular large vehicle ever.
Absolutely.
You can go back and check that out. But everyone loved them because suddenly people were saying, "Oh my gosh, this is it! This is a car turned into a truck that I can put everything in, including my children and their soccer stuff and the groceries, and go anywhere."
Exactly.
And I mean, it was just like this be-all and end-all. Well, then, of course, the other manufacturers, and people forget this, I think. My very good friend, who's like my brother from South America, from Argentina, came to visit me the first time in the United States. And when he got here, he was only here a day or so, and he said to me, "I can't get over how big everything is. I can't get over how big your roads are, how far apart your houses are." You know, I lived in a subdivision, and they weren't that far apart. But he said, I just can't, the expanse of it. So when as a car manufacturer, I'm looking to design something for the American market. Now, this QX60 and all these other ones that Lori's talking about, they are designed mostly for the American market. And what are the Americans know? When you think of America, what's the first state that comes into your mind? Texas. And what's the motto?
True.
Yeah, everything's bigger in Texas. So
in Texas,
people look at Americans believing, or the people who are designing all this, look at Americans believing they want a big, superior vehicle. And, you know, people don't throw stones at me. But when it comes to nations around the world, we are the wealthiest. It is. As my friend, you know, great guy, Jim Rohn used to say, the internet philosopher, no one ever said, if I could just escape to Poland, life would be so much better. Where does everybody come?
Escape from Poland.
Yeah.
Oh, my
yeah, there
gosh.
You go.
I want to interject something that has nothing to do with the stream of conversation right now, but it's important. I mentioned just now that, you know, you've got Infiniti that's only been around for 33 years. Well, I just did a quick fact check, and I'm right, but I'm wrong, because what happened was, yes, that's true, but Nissan has been around for 88 years, and Nissan actually came from Datsun. And Datsun was founded in 1911 with its first car.
Yeah.
And that's only 10 years after Cadillac, you know, was founded. So, you know, the Japanese, this is nothing new with the Japanese. They've been designing to the beat of their own drummer. But here's the thing. I've never been to Tokyo. I've never been to the Far East. But I assume that not a lot of people actually own cars in those, you know, especially in the city of Tokyo. And as such, it begs the question, and I know that the country is largely linked by railroad, so it begs the question, Japan's not making these cars for their own market. They're making these cars for the internet. They're making these cars
America.
For America.
Absolutely.
And they're smart. And I mean, you can go into a whole psychological, sociological mindset about what, pardon the pun, but what drives Japan to continue to want to be number one. I mean, you can go back to the mindset of World War II. But the fact of the matter is...
You know, I think Americans forget the influence of America on the world stage in many reasons, and I don't know why.
I agree.
It's almost like there's a lack of self-respect, as if it's better elsewhere. But actually, we're being mimicked in America by every conceivable culture, no matter where they're from, whether it be in Europe or Asia or South America or wherever. There seems to be something that we keep forgetting, and I don't know why.
Let me just say something, John. Here's another thought. You know, America's always been known as the great melting pot. We are made up of mixtures, many races. In Japan, you're Japanese. In China, you're Chinese. These are people who have a nationality, a heritage that they are proud of. As you just said, your father immigrated from Poland. My grandparents immigrated from Italy. You could go through 12 of your friends, and each of those 12 will have a heritage that's different from the other. So the question is, what are Americans? And when you ask somebody, when you ask an American, you know, who, they'll say, well, my grandfather was, you know, German, my grandmother was English. You're right. I don't think that we as a country have arrived at an understanding of who we are.
That's true.
Related to the world.
Related to the world, whereas... You know, Japan, absolutely. Really good case in point, is absolutely assured of who they are.
It's an island who has dealt with China and many other countries personally. I mean, they've both invaded and invasions.
Mm-hmm.
They have America, you know, God bless us, has been isolated on the world stage from a lot of things. And I want to say two things. One, that I taught school for 20 years, taught in Maryland, which is not far from the capital. Mm-hmm. And the kids that I had, many of them were from the farming community around. And if you ask them how many of them had ever been out of, this was in St. Mary's County, one of the counties in Maryland, how many of you have ever been out of St. Mary's County? Do you know out of a class of 30, you might get two or three hands? So those children didn't travel. Now, if you went south, I taught south of the Patuxent River Naval Air Station, which is, of course, one of the largest facilities on the East Coast, and those children... parents were military. They had been to Germany. They had been to, name some other places, Italy, for example.
Mm-hmm.
And when they came in, there was the level of sophistication in those kids simply because they had been exposed to the world.
Yeah.
And when I lived in Arkansas, now you talk about, well, I'll get off on that, but Arkansas, and one of the gentlemen that I knew in Arkansas who ran a fairly successful hunting operation told me, he said, when I was growing up, I thought the world began and ended in England, Arkansas. That's an American mindset, you know. And if you've never traveled, if you've never been to other places and seen how, not just how people live, but the structure of their society. I have a friend in Pakistan, and he sent me a little video of his town today. And while it's fine, not in comparison to American standards and how most of us live, not everybody, but how a good portion of Americans live, it's not the kind of thing that we would be happy
with. No, it's not American. And anyway, I've been to Pakistan, all over the country, actually. And it's like an anomaly on the world stage.
Well, and so when
not in a good way.
Right. And so go back to what I said, the Jim Rohn quote. Nobody ever said, if I could just escape to Poland. People want to come to the United States. This is the only place, there are certainly other countries that would be wonderful to be in. But the vision that America is the answer is still in existence. And And it's disconcerting that things are these days.
And as Johnny says, often, if you look at the statistics about such as the number of people that have that are suffer from hunger, the number of people that do not have safe homes or even a roof over their head, and we come out in the United States as, what, a very low single number percentage, we won the lottery. Americans have won the lottery because, by and large, we have all these creature comforts that we have come to take advantage of. Now, speaking about creature comforts, because we don't have a lot of time left.
Yeah, we sort of got off track. Yeah, sorry.
We were talking about life. I do want to just breeze through some of the things that this magnificent Infiniti QX60 has. I urge our listeners to be our readers and go on to the Yonkers Tribune to read the review that Johnny and I did. But I want to speak about one thing that John is always keen about, and that is not just safety, but driver assistance. So with safety, you've got all the features you could want that will ensure you're on top of what's going on around you, in front of you, behind you. And so in safety, predictive forward collision warning. In other words, something's going to happen to you up front. The car's going to let you know before you probably even do. Forward emergency braking, pedestrian detection, that's huge. In a parking lot at the grocery store, you're downtown, you're in the city. Adaptive front lighting system with auto-leveling function. Now, this is good because it'll bring the lighting down to where your vision your is a consistent thing instead of so bright, so dark. High beam assist, lane departure.
Wait a minute. That leveling, if you're towing something, it tends to change depending on how good you are at towing. You know, it can pull the front end of the car up because you put weight on the back end of the car.
Yeah.
And that leveling keeps you from blinding the people who are coming at you so that it adjusts so that the leveling of the high beam and the low beam, especially that the low beam is where it should be in relationship to cars that are coming at
cars.
You. Yeah. It's very important because I've had that happen. I know everybody's probably had a car coming at you, and you look like their high beams are on, and then when they go by, it's just a truck loaded down with stuff in the back. So it's, you know, it's dangerous.
So going on high beam assist, lane departure warning, lane departure prevention, blind spot warning, blind spot intervention, around view monitor with moving
blind spot intervention stop you.
Yeah. And the around view monitor with moving object detection will tell you what's going on around you when you have no clue.
And that, and I don't mean to interrupt, but these kinds of things are important. You park a vehicle in downtown Pinehurst and start to bout, you cannot see because there's a car on both sides of you. And this kind of technology is looking on both sides and is going to stop you before you back out in front of a car. I applaud all the manufacturers who take these kinds of things into consideration.
Rear automatic braking and rear cross-traffic alert. Here, front pre-crash seatbelts. This is exactly, this is how sensitive this vehicle is. It knows that it's going to have to hold you in if it senses that you're going to have an imminent collision.
Probably when you stomp the brakes.
And I mean, this is just such a sensitive machine. It's phenomenal. Now, very quickly through the driver assistance, hill start assist, which is really good. It means when you're on a hill, you're not going to, you know, stop, drag, go backward. Front and rear parking centers. Then it has something called a Pro Pilot Assist with Navilink, and that includes steering, speed limit, speed adjustment by route, and intelligent cruise control.
What is that? One step closer to
self-driving
cars.
Right.
So we could go on and on about the comfort and convenience, and we can go on about fabulous
luxury.
295 horsepower, 270 pound-foot torque, 3.5-liter V6 engine with 9-speed automatic transmission, and a 6,000-pound tow capacity.
See, and that was the thing I was saying about the engine. A 3.5-liter V6. 295 horsepower. You know what? They picked it. They got the right one. That's the kind of engine you need on a vehicle like that. Why? Because you still get decent gas mileage. What's the gas mileage, honey? Like 21 miles a gallon or something?
I don't have it right in front of me, but I think it's 24, but I could be wrong.
Well, it might be an average.
But here's the thing.
21 city, 26 highway.
Okay, there you go. So it's 24 average. So, but here's the thing. It's got a 6,000, I just mentioned the 6,000 pound tow capacity. This is an SUV. It's all wheel drive, and it's got a trailer sway control and a tow hitch and tow wiring harness. So,
and it's a luxury vehicle.
And it's a luxury. I mean, you would look at this car and say,
that's what I said. The design on this was incredible.
So here's Infiniti saying you can drive this and offload in front of, you know, the Metropolitan Opera House in New York City.
Yes.
But we're getting this rigged. So if you've got to, you know, carry it, haul a trailer, go for it. This is a working vehicle, not just a pretty one. So back to where we started, and then we'll sign off. Johnny puts a tie on every day. I put on mascara. Why? Because we like to feel good. And this car
on radio,
will make
why.
You feel good. That's it for... Now, next week, we've got a heck of a thing, a BMW.
No. We've got a Hyundai.
Oh, we've got the Hyundai.
We've got the Hyundai.
Oh.
I think it's Venue.
Yes,
we talk about the opposite.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah,
we
but
can't
this
wait
is
to
the
tell you
coolest little car.
22 grand. It's unbelievable. I was going to say a bad word. It's unbelievable. And we cannot wait to tell you all about it. And then the following week, BMW Sports Coupe in wild Kelly green with an orange interior, and it starts at 100 grand.
Yeah, we're talking about opposite ends of the spectrum, I'll
really,
tell you.
Really? So next week, our $22,000, we love it, Hyundai Venue, and the week after, our $100,000
BMW M4.
M4 Sports Coupe. So that's us for this week, Hezzy.
Take care.
All right, buddy. Thank you so much.
What a pleasure.
Everyone,
right.
Take care.
Well.
Stay calm. Stay safe.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You too. All the best. Thank you. Oh, fantastic. Always a pleasure to talk to them. Whoops, I made a mistake here. I think I accidentally knocked off of the person that was supposed to do, you know, that's already on the line, and I knocked him off somehow. Bear with me a second as I try to pull him in. 1 second here. You may end up... No, 1 second. All right. My fault here. I'll have to apologize. Right away, the first thing I'm going to have to do is, Mr. Harrod, I've got to apologize for... Oh, he's already called me back faster than I can get my act together here. So good morning, Mr. Harrod. My apology. I disconnected you by accident. I was so
it's not easy. You're being the host. You're running the board. You're engaging
it's
guests.
Too much.
You're like a Renaissance man here.
Well, not quite. Well, you are just immaculate what you've just done. I read your report about what happened. What was it? Is it over a year now since those four boys had gotten?
Yeah, I guess it's about February, about maybe 15 months, I guess, just about a year and 3 months or so.
Has it been that long? Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I remember it since it was as if it were yesterday. But what a great story. And thank goodness the families were able to get together to bring this case into a courtroom. And we'll get it resolved. I think it will expose many, many deficiencies in our police department, which is overdue.
You know, it's a shame. These four teenagers.
Four boys died.
Yeah, passed away. And, you know, every year at the holidays, there's an empty chair at the table. And, you know, the families want basic answers. They want... copies of police records or video or what have you, and the police department's not forthcoming. So unfortunately, each of these families three of the four families have retained an attorney. Maybe the fourth one's working on it, and they've had to go file a lawsuit, which costs money, and now I guess they're going to be deposing people in the city of Yonkers and in the police department to, you know, ask questions, to approach the judge. This person said this under oath, so obviously this exists. We have a copy. It should have been given to us, that kind of thing, you know. Shame that these four suffering Yonkers families have to go to this extra means.
Absolutely. So, you know, can you reflect, because you were very magnanimous to us here at the Yonkers Tribune. And you're the publisher and editor of the Yonkers Newswire, and we got the video what the police claimed was not a chase, but evidently no one in the police department ever defined how fast the vehicle was traveling on Riverdale Avenue.
I've only seen one video, two videos I've seen that have been released.
Mm-hmm.
One is it shows the actual crash, and for mm-hmm. some reason, it's just like
I didn't see that one.
It's from the gas station camera right where the crash happened.
Mm-hmm.
So mm-hmm. they show about maybe 10 seconds of video, and they just keep looping it for like about a half a minute or so. You know, it just keeps
mm-hmm.
looping. But people who were there, and, you know, these kind of crashes are very loud, you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So, you look. And they said, you know, right behind it, you know, within, I've heard estimates from 8, 9, 10 seconds to up to 15 seconds from different people. But the police were right
uh-huh.
there, you know, on his tail. And so
mm-hmm.
the police department, when that was released, they released a video at a stoplight just before where the crash happened, and basically said this is a block away, and the officer, you know, has turned off his lights, he's slowing down, and he's pulling in. But what they don't what's very deceptive about that, and I was shocked when I went to that area, was we're talking hundreds of feet only from where the accident actually happened. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So when you see that white car zip through, you know, at an incredible amount of speed, the police officer, by the time that has went through the screen, he saw the accident. I mean, it was the accident would have happened, you know, like a second after that. And then you see the police car mm-hmm. slowing down, looking, and then going. And even with that, he was there within 10 seconds or so. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
There was, in my opinion, unless the police officer just happened to be pulling out right at that time, some sort of chase going on, a police-involved pursuit. And
because the police claimed that there was no pursuit.
Yeah,
they've
constantly been changing the narrative, you know.
Mm-hmm.
There was, first it was that they first put out that it was some kind of alleged equipment violation. I don't know if it's a burned out light or a tinted window or something along that lines. Then it was apparently the person had drove erratic. So that made, that they said that's what caused it, but maybe crossed the yellow line.
Yeah,
the car that they were
originally following, didn't the car come from Mount Vernon, or somebody that they knew was from Mount Vernon?
My understanding is it's very confusing. You get very conflicting information from the police statements and from things that have been said and threads. But my understanding is the gentleman is from Yonkers. He's had his name was Mr. Haywood. I've forgotten the first name. He had multiple interactions with the Yonkers Police Department. And
mm-hmm.
had served some time, I think, for a drug violation or a drug charge. I don't know if it's felony
okay.
violation, whatever. And he actually served some time in jail. He was living temporarily in Mount Vernon. At first, the police
mm-hmm.
made it sound like we had to chase this person because we didn't know who he was. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But then even Mr. Olson, who's head of the Yonkers PBA, came on to my website and says, I know this guy. He's had a history of running, and I pulled him over once. He took off on me once before, you know what I'm saying? So there was a great deal of familiarity from this person, and they quickly knew that he was from Mount Vernon, where he lived, all this kind of stuff, you know what I'm saying? But they try to make it
right.
sound like some out-of-town person. We don't know who it was. It was dangerous, and we had to do this. And sadly, they didn't choose to do something like asked the NYPD to stop him just as he crossed the border there, or to just go pick him up the next day, you know.
Violation
and I guess evading the police too.
Well, at the time that the incident happened, I'd also heard that there was a gunshot that went to the car, I guess, of Mr. Haywood's car, and that's why he took off. And so
well,
he was trying to evade the police, but we never got any notification from the police department, so they never said anything. It's been hush-hush from the moment it took place.
They did counter that claim. There were people
that said they
thought that there was gunshots or heard gunshots or saw holes in Mr. Haywood's, I think it was an Infiniti, like a white car. And the police department, I believe, were saying something like it was the tools used to extract him had caused these holes in his car.
Holes?
But I'm not, you know, I don't know where that comes from. But maybe, you know, like the jaws of life or something is clamped on. I'm not sure.
We'll eventually find out now that the case is going to be brought forward, because the police has been quiet about it from the moment it happened.
Yeah, and you know, I think another problem was I'm trying to think of a way to say this. It's almost like a culture war. You know, there's so many times that our police department gets involved in national issues, debates, and these kind of things. And oftentimes, they're running to Fox News, trying to say this, that, or another. And at the time that this happened, I think what contributed to this too was our police commissioner was going on Fox News and was upset that New York had passed a law that basically said it was illegal to cut off the air supply of a suspect, and he didn't feel safe sending his officers into New York City, and he was no longer going to provide mutual aid. So I think it created this situation where, you know, there was a race to the border because the Yonkers police were not going to go into the Bronx. I guess they could go in a hot pursuit or something, but they, you know, after making a big stink on national TV that we're not going to support the NYPD, they don't kind of want to be on the phone saying, could you please stop this guy? He's coming your way, you know, kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
So that may have been a contributing factor to this. Recently there was the community affairs person was all over Fox News again. It seems like their go-to source, and he was complaining that a video that he had put up on YouTube had been taken down. It was the Asian woman that had been beaten on Riverdale Avenue, and similar area. And the video had been taken down. And so they made a big stink that the Yonkers Police Department was being censored, and it was just this whole thing of, like, where conservatives say we're not being treated properly, or these QAnon people were being taken down, or Alex Jones were being taken down. So Yonkers Police is being violated. And it turns out that when they put up this beating on the thing, they didn't mark that it was, you know, you had to be 13 years old and older. That you know, very young minors shouldn't see this. You know, there should be.
Is that the law?
Well, that's just their policy. You know, you have policies on your website that I may add this content or not add that content or do this. So YouTube has a policy, you know, a very graphic, violent thing.
Oh, it's a,
we
it's
don't
a
show
YouTube.
Five,
it's a YouTube,
seven, eight, nine,
it's a YouTube policy. It's a YouTube policy. It's not a police department policy,
no,
is it?
No, they put it up. They didn't tag the video properly or put the proper labels on it. YouTube took it down.
YouTube?
When you sign up for a YouTube account, you tell people how old you
Brian,
are.
Brian,
so
who is the one that challenged it? I don't understand.
The police department put the video up on their YouTube channel. YouTube, Google took it down, or I guess they call themselves Alphabet now. Alphabet took it down, and then the police department went bananas on Fox News. We're being censored by a big bad Google, and then it turned out that they didn't mark it as sensitive material very young minors couldn't see it, and that violated the YouTube policy. The video was put back up after it was tagged properly.
Well, you know, what's so interesting about it here is that the Yonkers Police Department have the audacity never to reveal any of this information to the media, whether it's new media, whether it's old media. They just don't do it. They're hiding all this information, and they have their own station. I never even knew that they had their own, YouTube station. Good for them.
YouTube,
I'm so thrilled for
platform.
Them.
And you know, there's a pattern there too.
Obfuscation is a pattern. Obfuscation.
Yeah.
They don't want anyone to know anything.
I'll put it, well, I think there's a pattern of going to this Fox News constantly for issues that are about cultural issues. When Jamal Bowman, they had the insurrection at the Capitol, you know what I'm saying? Jamal Bowman, life was threatened multiple times. The Capitol Police, you know, pretty much made Yonkers aware, or told Mr. Bowman to make the Yonkers Police Department aware that these threats had been made against him and his family. And then, and from there, the they went and provided some patrols, you know, for like a week or two, make sure that really nothing was
credible. You mean the police? The Yonkers police?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
So then later, over this issue of I'm not sure what the issue. It might have been like with the bail reform or some other issues. Mr. Bowman. Oh, I think it was the the detective. I think in Mount and New Rochelle that had that the Yonkers police PBA president came out defending so strongly with an interaction with an African American male. And
I remember that.
And then the I believe the police PBA president strongly came out in support of him. Jamal Bowman, you know, spoke out and said, I don't think this is proper. And then so the police department turns around, goes to the New York Post and to Fox News saying, oh, Jamal Bowman, what is it they call it, defund the police guy, asked for police protection, and then they show a picture of his exact house here in Yonkers, you know what I'm saying? And it, it seems to be that there's a if you criticize the police department, they want to go after you. Oftentimes, the police department is looking to be on this Fox News and New York Post a great deal, especially on issues that are kind of like what they people would call like culture war type of issues. Maybe they should be a little focused on, you know, quality of life issues in downtown Yonkers and Southwest Yonkers. Maybe they should be a little more focused on, you know, addressing the violence that's pretty much in every precinct in Yonkers. Maybe they should be a little more focused on being more transparent with the people they are, but they seem to be more focused on, you know, chokehold. They seem to be more focused on Jamal Bowman issues with on Capitol Hill. They seem to be more focused on these other issues that I'm not saying they're not important or they shouldn't be discussed, but they go out of their way to do these interviews on to be a guest on Fox News or something about these type of issues.
Well, are they? Do they believe that they're not welcome in any other place other than Fox News?
Well, those places are, you know, as soon as they say YouTube censored us, Fox News just jumps on it because that's one of their themes, one of their talking points nowadays. But it turned out that the police department didn't properly put up the video. You know, we don't want to show graphic violence to 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11-year-olds, you know, 12-year-olds. So
you have to be
13 years old.
You mentioned the issue, but the point is they're the police department. Don't they know what they're supposed to do? Who's the guy that messed it up and made a mistake and didn't put whatever is supposed to be done? Don't they read the rules and regulations? Don't they know that there's a law? Don't they know that
there's not a law, but there's the rules and regulations of the site.
Excuse me, I didn't say there was a law, but that law, but there's a they when they signed up, they knew what the restrictions were, and they don't abide by it.
Yes.
Like they don't abide by telling the truth
to
the public and to Caesar.
They might have been not very well educated about social media or digital media and
we're
putting it up.
Well, I guess you're on target
there.
When it
went,
talk about
when it was
ignorance.
Taken down, they just jumped to a conclusion and ran to Fox News, basically, you know.
Good for them.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just shows the intellectual capacity of the idiots that are there. Who's the bimbo that ended up saying something like that or not saying, we're sorry, we made an error? Unbelievable.
Yeah.
It's pathetic. You know, I'm getting sick and tired of everything that you hear about them because you know what? They're not doing a good job, and it doesn't go to the individual police officer. It goes to the idiots at the top, and they're messing it up. And if they don't get it together, we're going to be hurt financially. I'm not talking about personally being hurt financially, but the city is going to lose all its clout, all this work for absolutely nothing because they're failing.
You know, I
and people
hate
are getting killed because of their failures.
There's a lot of truth in it because you used to just do a general Google search about Yonkers, and it was items about, you know, development and Yonkers on the move.
Yeah.
But now you do a search about Yonkers, it's about you know, an attack on an Asian woman in Ludlow. You know, the families are suing for this. So many incidents, shootings, stabbings, assaults.
Yeah.
It seems to be, you know, it seems to be Yonkers is getting known once again for a crime-ridden area, where before it had kind of put that behind them and had moved on and was starting to attract development and dollars.
No,
and
but you know what? I hate to tell you. Let me just stop you there. It didn't change. It was the press that ended up promoting a falsehood of security, which never existed because it never changed. And when we have this new echelon of people in the police department, it's only gotten worse.
Mm-hmm.
We've got more killings, more abuse, more people on the street. And you know what? I'm not making this stuff up. There are people lying on the floor, you know, writhing in pain. They're on drugs, and nobody does anything about it. How about cleaning it up?
Yes.
What's it for? Oh, but we're going to make believe that we are carrying Narcan, you know, capsules to bring these people back to life. That's really not the answer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the point is, it's always a falsehood. The falsehood is not that we have, I'm thrilled that we have Narcan capsules so we can save people's lives, but maybe we shouldn't even be allowed to bring in the drugs. So we allow the drugs in because our cops don't do the job, and then we bring in the Narcan. So everybody's making money, huh? How about just straightening it out from the police work, and then we wouldn't even have to have all this Narcan stuff, and maybe they can go somewhere else, these people who want to get high. Or maybe they'll clean themselves up because they'll have no other opportunity. Maybe they'll just simply overdose on the last thing that they've got. This is insane. It goes around in a circle. And we never get a resolution.
Well, I think one issue that people
have... I'm just disgusted
already. One issue people bring up is that there needs to be an addressing of quality of life issues. You know, there was a video this week of right on Yonkers Avenue, broad daylight. Kids opened a side window to a Westchester County bus over by a school. Mm-hmm. And it just... they're loading like 20 kids in the back window and not paying, you know what I'm saying? And the bus can't drive
mm-hmm.
away because you've got kids, you know, crawling in the back.
Right.
And, you know, when people feel that comfortable with behaving in this manner, you start to have
mm-hmm.
a problem. When these buses all come to Getty Square and to, you know, change, you know, to transfer so you can get
mm-hmm.
home, these different schools, and you have a lot
yep.
of fights and stuff between children and kids and that kind of stuff there, you get this
mm-hmm.
attitude that, you know, you can get away with stuff, things are there. And if you go around a lot of times, people complain. They say, you know, I called the police. They didn't show up. I called multiple times. And they never came and responded to my issue. It might have not been a stabbing, an assault or something, but you would think within 8 hours they could have came and seen about this issue on my street
mm-hmm.
is not right, is not proper. And
well, don't we have cameras on the buses? I thought we had cameras on the buses.
Oh, they do.
They
it's
don't
just,
have cameras
I guess
anymore?
It's just they just didn't care. You know, the video's up on social media, and as the people would have piled in the back room, they would have had cameras, and as people rode the bus, they would
mm-hmm.
have had shots of them, but yeah, apparently it's not
mm-hmm.
a priority, you know, and it just, and I guess they could argue
nice.
We've got so many stabbings, so many shootings, so many assaults, so much violence, so much gang issues, we can't be worried about these juvenile issues, but, you know,
well,
and
you know,
other people would argue.
If that's the case, how come we don't hear anything about what's going on with police work and what they're doing? How many press releases do they even notice in a
yeah.
week?
Yeah. And
Maybe one or two?
Well, actually, I'm kind of waiting for a press release now, hoping that there'll be one. You have this family who sued the city of Yonkers and the police department, is going to depose people, three families, possibly a fourth coming into this. And mm-hmm. the next day, you have a police pursuit of a vehicle. It might have been something, people, you know, as you try to patch it together, because the police department doesn't
right.
just say, here are the facts. They're saying there might have mm-hmm. been a BMW stop that the police, for some reason, was chasing. And they started chasing mm-hmm. it. Because of all this lawsuits and bad publicity, at the last minute, they called off the chase, the pursuit. But the car mm-hmm. ended up flying down the Sawmill River Road and hit a car, hit two or three cars, and a bunch of people went to the hospital. You know what I'm saying? I think it was like, mm-hmm. I want to say three or four cars were involved in this thing, you know. And But did we hear anything about it from them? No. You see it on social media. You see it from the digital media people coming to see what happened, trying to figure it out. But you don't see mm-hmm. the police department saying yesterday A, B, C, D happened, you know, and who, what, when, where, how. This is what we're looking mm-hmm. for. This is what the situation was. And mm-hmm. that lack of transparency brings lawsuits like from this family, and it brings a distrust of the police department. Any trust they built up in the community, they're just losing from not being.
They didn't build any trust. Give me a break. What trust is there that they built? Can you tell me when they built trust? Because
I appreciate the police department. I would like to see improvements, but I would say they have done things that have been good, or people feel that are there. But overall, no, I don't think they've got a good plan for making people feel comfortable, for building trust in the community. But I'm saying if I lived in Crestwood and I thought the Yonkers Police Department was the greatest thing since sliced cheese, now that I'm seeing a shooting on Tuckahoe Road, now that I'm seeing some of these other things, and I'm afraid of driving down the Sawmill River Road without being mowed over, you know, and not knowing what would be happening and not hearing anything about it, then I'm starting to lose trust if I was maybe a resident in Crestwood, if I was maybe a homeowner in northern Yonkers. Some people used to feel like I'm in a different section of Yonkers. This doesn't affect me as much as the people downtown or on southwest Yonkers. Mm-hmm. So that type of thing, I believe. You know, as you start to see shootings on the east side, you know, maybe over in District 4, people start to not feel comfortable. You know, they start to lose trust. There were people who did have some trust, that didn't see much trouble in their neighborhoods, are now starting to see it creep in slowly but surely.
Well, it's so interesting that you say things like that, but the point is we're having more violence on the west side. I don't know what's happening necessarily on the east side. Maybe they don't even talk about it, but it's really interesting that in the city of Yonkers, we claim that crime has gone down. And then we have our Westchester County Executive, George Latimer, who's very highly respected, who says also the numbers are down. Isn't that wonderful? Everybody thinks it's going great. Well, you know, I just don't see it. What I do see is that we have a diminution of being open and expressing exactly what happened. There are no reports. I don't want to see it on social media. There's nothing wrong with it there. But who's going to validate what's on social media? But we have the statistics to prove of what's going on.
Yeah.
What's the problem? Why are they so afraid? Or they'd rather hand out pizzas to everybody, tell them how everybody wonderful. They're so wonderful in Yonkers, really? And what about the people who are rising on the streets in Getty Square where you can't move?
Yeah.
It's insanity.
I would say this, Hezzy. Sometimes it might be just some the culture in the upper levels of the police department. To be quite honest with you, the head of community affairs, the lieutenant there, he can be quite malicious. You know, he comes on social media. He's came on my page. You know, you're a bottom feeder. You're this. You're that. You're this. While he's on taxpayer funded.
And did he prove it? Did he prove that you were a bottom feeder?
It's just a habit he has.
You know, listen, what did he – listen, stop it already. You're going on with an opinion. The point is, if he said something, how are you regarded as a bottom feeder by expressing what happened?
In his mind, if I try to make my point, in what I'm trying to say is, while we have a very highly compensated police official being so malicious, saying things that aren't true, and being behaving in this manner, using Yonkers police equipment, internet, what have you know what I'm saying, to do this, you set the tone for the people who are supervising down below him. You set the tone even maybe for officers on the streets. If you have a PBA president who is also vocal, but that's a little bit of his job is to speak up, more speak up for his officers' benefits and what's best for their interests. But when you have that kind of thing, you get it. And you get an awful lot of malicious behavior from these people. I know from myself when I was looking over School 12 and there was a drug dealing right there on the place. There was people drinking out of open containers. There was fights, this, that, and another. I would call for the police. They wouldn't come. You know, people parked illegal all over the place. You couldn't get the food truck in. And I started taking pictures. I started posting it. All of a sudden, the head of community affairs is posting, well, Brian Herod has called us this many times. Then I responded back, how many other times did you respond to these things? You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You have an issue here. This is a children's school bus stop. This is a piece of, you know, a community property type of thing. And you allow this illegal activity to go on. You just drive by. From there, people started telling me the reason the head of community affairs posted the calls that I had made. They hadn't answered, as far as I could see, that it was to try to tell drug dealers, this is who is ratting you out. So they have a way of being malicious. When Jamal Bowman said, you know, I don't think that the police PBA president is right about this incident with this African-American man in New Rochelle, which is both places in my district, they turn around and say, this is where Jamal Bowman lives. He needed police protection because people wanted to kill him and his family. So any lunatic or nut would know where to go. You understand what I'm saying? In the city of Yonkers.
Wow.
So they have that malicious attempt. And oftentimes it's not on their own private time at 10 o'clock at night. It's during right while they're on a job, right while they're using taxpayer-funded equipment, right while they're using taxpayer-funded internet, and while they're collecting, you know, working towards their pensions and everything else. Instead of, like, worrying on quality of life issues, instead of addressing, you know, things like this, if you can't go out and deal with a bunch of youth taking over a Westchester County bus, maybe you need to take the Youth Bureau out of the Community Affairs Department, where they're responsible for press releases, passing out books, passing out bikes, and put them on the street. Let them be there. Yeah. You have this incident happen, be there the next day. You know what I'm saying? Be there talking to these kids. Or
we
maybe just observing this video and maybe sending some of these kids into juvenile court. And then guess what? The other kids go, whoa, shoot, we better not do that, you know, on a bus.
Exactly. We don't have that proactive conduct by our police department, and I don't understand why. Because every aspect of economic development that has been invested in this city is being wasted with all of this other stuff because our police don't have patrols, neighborhood patrols. They don't have any of those things that are required, and I don't understand what the problem is. Don't they get it? Didn't they go to school? Aren't they taught this sort of stuff in the police academy? Don't they know how it's supposed to work? We're not doing a good job here. I'm sorry. It doesn't cut it. And our crime statistics are going through the roof, and they're saying it's not. Maybe they can give the Wall Street Journal $10,000 or $50,000, and they'll write another bullshit story.
Yeah.
And you think these places don't get sold? Bought and sold for a couple of bucks under the table? I don't do press releases like that.
Yeah.
But all I know is that's what they do.
Yeah. I'll go even further ahead when you have these four teenagers who passed away, you had it was nice that the school opened up, made it comfortable for the families. You had the police chief, you had all these police officers there, and we're so sorry about this. But the minute a family member wanted some information, the minute that the family member would like to see a video, the minute wanted to hear a radio transmission of actually what occurred, the minute the family wanted to get a police report or what have you, all of a sudden that police department shut down. All of a sudden the police department gave them the cold shoulder. And after a year, over a year of that, they have to hire attorneys, three different attorneys now for three different families, to go and say, we want to know what happened to our child. We want to have these public documents. Unfortunately, they treat public information, taxpayer public information, as their own information. And they should be transparent. They should be putting this up on their website. These are the calls we had. This is how it was resolved. Maybe they might have to redact out something if it's a involves a minor or a sexual assault or something. But they should be able to put to this place, that place. This was the call, this place, that place. I might like to know if there's been four garage break-ins, you know, in within two blocks of my home. You know, I might start.
I think it's important to know. It's important to know.
I might want to know if they're taking catalytic converters, you know, on.
Oh, but wait a minute. Wait, I'm glad you brought up the catalytic converter. The catalytic converter, it was very interesting. They issued a press release only a day or two before, and then all of a sudden the day after, they caught the culprits. Isn't that special? What a wonderful job these cops are.
Yes.
Why did they even have to tell us in advance that they were going to be able to resolve the issue? And that's how they do their press releases. Today they tell you they're looking for someone. Tomorrow they resolve it, whether it be murder or something else. It's all concocted BS if there ever was one. Because you know what? In every other community, certainly in Westchester County and everywhere else, they tell you what's going on so that you could protect yourself. So that you're aware of what to do. When that woman who was of Filipino descent or Asian descent, the bottom line is she's older. She's my age, a little bit younger. But the point is, you know, she's a tiny woman compared to me. But so the bottom line is we don't do something proactive. Like, how about telling people when you come home, and you need to have your key ready so that you can open the door if it's a locked building. You should be looking around and making sure that it's safe. If you're uncomfortable with anybody there or you don't know them, then don't enter. Do whatever you can. And where are these type of notices to the public to make them aware of what they should be aware of? And do you know, since that building went up, it's always been regarded as a bad building, not because of the landlord, has nothing to do with the landlord, but if you want to just waste your time trying to diminish the landlord, what more can they do? The landlord was the one that put in security cameras. They didn't,
I guess
the building didn't want security cameras.
I'll say this, Hezzy. When they interviewed people at that building after this incident, I mentioned this last week with this Asian lady, they weren't talking about cultural issues, defund the police or bail reform or something like that. They were saying, you know, there's a police department one block away. We have drugs being dealt right around our building. There's a police department one block away. There's people who are in need of medical attention for mental issues that just are loitering and doing things that makes me feel unsafe in my neighborhood. If the person was bleeding all over the place, they would call an ambulance and take care of the person. But if the person has other medical issues, behavioral issues, they don't care. And then they would talk about, you know, there's a police department down the street, and there's all this homeless activity taking back. Couldn't they call like a crisis team, try to get these people to services? That's what the quality of life issues.
The guy who pummeled that woman senselessly, I don't know how long it took, but I saw the video of it. The bottom line is, he doesn't live in that building. He is the son of a tenant. His uh-huh. mother lives in the building.
Uh-huh.
He shouldn't. You can't deny a parent having their child, even though it's an adult child, to sleep over there.
Yeah.
However, but that never came out because uh-huh. they didn't want anyone to know. But the cops know about this guy. He's been a problem for a very long time.
Uh-huh.
And why he's not been referred for some sort of medical attention, or he probably has some sort of medical imbalance. Or on top of that, he's an absolute nut job of a bigot.
Yeah.
There's got to be a law. Was he arrested? This is the thing I really want to know. Is this man in jail yet? Because I don't think so. And why isn't he in jail? Because you could see him beat this woman up to a pulp. You know, if I got punched like that 3 or 4 times, I think I'd be dead by now.
Yeah.
I don't even know how the woman survived.
She's
probably half my weight.
Yeah. Well, I assume he is in custody at this.
I don't assume anything because you know what? I don't know whatever happened to him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And why don't – you see, the point is, if he's getting medical attention or if he's in prison, how come we don't know that from our police department? Because
mm-hmm.
they never tell you the truth. That's why. Because they're covering up. And I don't know why they're covering up and who's allowing them to cover it up.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing that's outrageous here. And this is not going to be the end of it either. This is going to continue and continue and continue until, I guess, good people who walk around in the downtown, maybe they'll get killed. Because you got like this guy who's on the loose.
Well, I hope it doesn't come to that, but I
Oh, I hope it doesn't
I think
either.
But you have a point.
It's already
the
here.
The more transparent the police department can be, the more they give information who, what, when, where, how, and this is what we're doing about it, the more trust they'll build.
They don't have the balls
the
to do the
their,
right
their
thing.
Mindset
they
is.
They just don't have it. They're little
I would
boys.
Say this,
they're not even grown men.
We want to keep a lid on it. We don't want the bad news to come out. It makes us look bad. And
you know what?
Mind,
if you're afraid to look bad, then
them.
Why don't you just do the goddamn job you're employed to do and get it done? Why don't you just do the job? And that's why you get people
who
say defund the police because they're out of control. That's
I would
why.
Say this. I would say this, Hezzy. I think it's an issue of a culture or a mindset problem in the department. Some departments feel like we should be open with the public. We should provide access. In New York City, the 502A reports, you can go online and you can read it. If that's a bad report.
That's all very nice, but they don't have the upper hand in Yonkers.
In Yonkers,
they don't give a shit what happens in New York. In Yonkers, they don't give a shit, and they don't follow the rules.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm trying to suggest. The more open they are.
Do you know what they did years ago? Years ago, what they used to do in Yonkers is they would arrest somebody, and then they were supposed to send a notice to Albany to tell them who they arrested. Guess what they did in Yonkers? They were so smart. They know how to mess with everybody. So they didn't send an email like they're supposed to. They sent them a letter about a week later. And then eventually the Albany got smart and they said, if you don't send us an email of every individual that you arrest on any given day, we're going to start to fine you $1,000 a day for your deficiency. And the reason they did that and avoided sending them the email so that they would get instant notice of who got arrested on any particular day was so that the Yonkers Police Department could go to our people who were the judges who's sitting and presiding over the Yonkers City Court, and they were told who they should arrest and who they should let go.
Mm-hmm.
That's the sweet story of Yonkers for you. I'm sick and tired of every con game I've heard and I know exists.
Yeah.
And
I hadn't heard that story before.
The Journal News and all these other quack operations, let them go and request an information from the state of New York and ask them if we ever got fined $1,000 a day for not sending them the right reports. And then arrest every goddamn judge who let it happen under their watch.
Hmm.
And you could see how and why this thing happens in this city. I wasn't born yesterday. And I know more about this city in 22 years than they'll ever know if it happened in their own backyard.
Well, that might be your next big job is to write a memoir of only in Yonkers.
No, I'm not going to waste my time.
Yes,
I'm not looking to demonize the city, but you know what? When it happens to be the way it is, it needs to be thrown out there once and for all. There are no excuses. There's only the law, and hopefully the law will protect the city of Yonkers from this BS, from the lies, the deceit, the lack of judgment, and the constant misalignment of the way things should function.
Mm-hmm.
It's getting outrageous.
Well,
you know what?
I'll say this, Sandy.
It just goes on.
Well, you have with this four families. They lost their teenagers,
yes.
And
I'm angry as all.
Three of them are
that.
Suing to ask the police department to do their job and be transparent. But you don't
mm-hmm.
see what is it? The Yonkers Rising, Dan Murphy writing about this. I'm sure that they were trying to inform all the press of this suits, trying to get these information about their children. And
mm-hmm.
he's kind of like waiting.
I didn't get any notice. It's not. I didn't get a notice. I'm saying not everybody knows who we are.
As the story comes out and people talk about it, you don't hear a word from him because there's tens of thousands of dollars of legal notices on the line. He doesn't want to upset the police department or the city of Yonkers. You have News 12. They're supposedly hyper-local on the streets. They'll send Lisa LaRocca out to stand in front of, I don't know, some place where there was an accident the night before or something, or if there's power out or something. But
mm-hmm.
A day later, after it's all over social media, and even some people started calling out News 12 saying, why aren't they covering this? They put out
mm-hmm.
an article that's, I think it was like 36 words long, you know, three families,
really?
Suit, police department says there was no chase. Thank you very much. Good night. So you have these so-called journalists and this so-called mainstream news not covering this. But if you look at the digital media, such as yourself or such as Rue at the Yonkers Voice or even myself,
mm-hmm.
you start to
mm-hmm.
see where things that they don't cover are being covered. Where there was this police pursuit the other day on the sawmill where all these cars got mowed down. You don't really see that in the journal news. You don't really
yeah.
see that at Dan Murphy's paper.
No.
You don't really see that in News 12. And if you do, no one's tying it to a chase that got called off. You know, but you're seeing that on multiple other channels. There's an awful lot of news being reported. And the sad part of it is the people who are in power will try to diminish the digital media, which is actually doing an excellent job of getting the stories out to people. But they prefer the mainstream media, which quickly falls in line and has certain boundaries that they don't cross. And the public is not who they're serving. They're serving more the people, the powers that be. That we need these powers to be to feed us stuff so we can
suck up.
Paste and throw it in our
suck up.
Yes.
They suck up to the power that is, you know. That doesn't necessarily make the power that is in control of the city necessarily in a negative way. The
mm-hmm.
problem is that the people who are demanded to do their job are not doing their job.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're a scientist and you can't resolve an equation after some study and you're not getting it done, they'll fire you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the same thing goes with the police department. You're trained. We invest money in you. Blah, 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 blah. And if you can't do the job right, and it's because your upper echelon in the department are not deploying our police department in a manner that is proficient to get the job done and to clear the crime and to protect the citizenry, then it's time for them to go. And for that, it's up to the administration to take care of that issue. Otherwise, they're going to find themselves sinking into the ground because nobody is going to invest in this city if this continues. And it's been going on for too long. And
I don't
know where the investment's going to come from if this keeps on going. And you know what? I don't know where to go with it anymore.
I agree with you with the administration will probably suffer greatly if they don't get this crime issue under control, if they don't improve the deployment in the police department, because there are many people in the administration and many people even in city council that are looking to go on to other offices or other things. And
but they're not doing their job.
It will hang around their neck like no tomorrow. You know, it's just you have to – people have to feel comfortable in their communities. People have to feel like quality of life issues are being addressed. People have to feel like that they're getting the truth from people that they pay a great deal of money to. You know, these people are very highly compensated, and to get this feeling, you need the public behind you to support you to go on to bigger and greater things. And I think the schools, performance in the schools, and I think the performance of the police department in dealing with crime on all levels is a couple landmines that could hurt the Spano administration over time. You know, it's been a lot of good things, a lot of very good things in this city, but it could all be sunk.
What good things? What good things? What are you talking about? Where's the good thing?
Well, Hansi, there's a little bit of a disagreement. I applaud the development in Yonkers. And I know you kind of have the view of it's kind of like putting lipstick on a pig, that they've got a lot of other issues they should deal with.
No, that's not my view. My view is that it's happening, except that we're destroying it at the other end. You need to protect the investment. And if you're not protecting the investment, then you're wasting your time and money. And eventually people are not going to invest here. And what was the point then? What have we been struggling for the last 22 years that I'm aware of in order to bring about development and in order to get investment? It all seems good, but then we've got to make sure that it is staying intact.
Yes,
and
I agree.
Because our police department is faltering. Our Board of Education is faltering. Hey, we were supposed to get computers for the kids. They never got it. Remember how they lied to us? They had 5,000 computers on order. They never ordered it. It's one lie, one deceitful comment after another. And everyone's afraid to say what's going on.
I'll say it this way, Hezzy. For years and years and years before this current administration came in, from Zelensky to Spencer to it just on and on, there were all these great things that Yonkers were going to do, all these great plans, all these buildings, all these things that were going to come to Yonkers. And it was kind of like how the police department is now. The city of Yonkers back then couldn't execute. They'd have all these opportunities, all these chances. They would talk all this great stuff that they were going to do, and they never could deploy. The police department now, they talk about precision policing, all these great things, and we got new officers, and we're training them better, and things are going to improve.
Word.
But they couldn't execute. They couldn't deploy. Now, Mr. Spano came in, and not for nothing, many of those things that those other people couldn't get done, He got the shovels in the ground, and these buildings went up. New stuff came.
And I've been celebrating it.
One after another, after another, after another. Even Chicken Island's going to get four big buildings right downtown. But I think the thing that will kill him, and I agree with you, is the police department's inability to address these quality of life issues, especially in this development area. And I think the schools will eventually hurt him if he can't turn around the schools or get some better leadership there, if he can't turn around the police department and get some better leadership there. That's just it's just sad but true. You know, Yonkers has invested a lot of time, a lot of energy, and the Yonkers homeowners have covered a lot of taxes for things that have been given away to developers to get this development. I'm not saying it's wrong to encourage the development and, okay, we're not going to charge them sales tax, we're not going to charge them mortgage tax, we're not going to charge them whatever, we're going to give them a pilot, but the homeowners have to make up that deficit. And they have, and they have, and they have, and they have, and they have. And it's going to be really sad if all this money, billions of development, is just crapped on because we can't seem to get a better deployment of needed police services in the city of Yonkers.
Well, that's all I've been saying myself. I celebrate what's going on in the city at every turn. Just give me an opportunity, and you'll be hearing my voice. It always has been out there. It's not like we're just trying to, you know, go after the city in a negative way. Always celebrated stuff that goes and gets done right. Mm-hmm. There's a difference between right and there's a difference between wrong. I know the difference. And I'm not going to be lulled into complacency by some sort of press release that means absolutely nothing. I don't give a shit who's planting the best-looking flower pot in front of their home. It means nothing to me and means nothing to anybody else, except the recipient who's got the horse manure to be able to feed the plant so it looks great. I'm thrilled to pieces. But that's not what it's all about. It could do that all day long, and it's not going to change the equation. We need investment. We need security. We need to know that our police are doing the work. And if they're not, you know what? Then you know what? They're going to defund them whether they like it or not. Do you know that to this day, we've got people in our police department that are supposed to have cameras? Have you seen anything since we've gotten those cameras that has been validated by those cameras?
Well, they don't release the video.
Because I'm sure you haven't seen anything.
I only saw video from the police body cams, and that was during the test period. They chased down a person who said, I don't know what it was like, the police are hurting me or something like that, and it wasn't really doing it. You know what I'm saying? It was maybe somebody with a mental illness or something. And so they did share that video in trying not to have the body cameras, you know, these body cameras are, you know.
How long ago was that?
That was when before the body cameras actually fully went into effect. There was a small test of like 12. They released that video.
No problem. I'm glad they released the video.
But you have videos
time,
of a lot of other incidents.
Let's not go on and on. The point
they
is,
don't
since
release
that
it.
Time, that was the test. Did you ever see anything that's been validated through any of those cameras?
No.
Those
you had
cameras?
The gentleman that jumped over the rail because the guy had called the police saying there was a gun. There was no gun, and he had a phone or something, and everybody there had a camera, you know what I'm saying, but they didn't show one piece of. You know, there's so many times.
That's what I'm talking about.
The video to make
That's
it clear
what
to
I'm
the public
talking
what
about. That's what I'm talking about. They don't prove anything. It's all a big lie. That's it. You prove me a liar by you showing me the video for every incident that comes before the court.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? It's not there to be seen. It's all concocted BS. And that's why this city looks the way it does, because we have not taken our police department to task. We're paying them through the roof. They're hurting the entire, what we've hoped to accomplish in the city. And like you said, the Spano administration has accomplished something quite a bit in the last almost 12 years in office. So the point is, but what are they doing? They're destroying it.
Yes.
It's the police department that's destroying it.
I would. There would be a lot of things I would do. I agree with the idea that there should be a fifth precinct downtown, number one. Number two, I believe that they should put GPS, turn it on in these cars. We need to know where these cars are, what they're doing. Are they sitting behind PC Richards and taking a nap, or are they actually patrolling where they're supposed to be patrolling? Can we deploy these cars to exactly where they're needed? You know, we have a call here, you're two blocks away, go take care of this call. We have a call here, go over there. But right now it's, they put out a call and see who comes there. Actually, this accident on the sawmill that actually involved the police chase, because it involved the police chase and because there were multiple accidents, you had so many police officers going there. It's almost like a third of the department was all of a sudden on the Sawmill River Road.
It's a waste of money.
Yeah, and it's just everything from the police chiefs all the way down came to see this, you know what I'm saying? And so many times I see things that are on social media that are being covered, like, say, by Yonkers Voice or something. There's a 9-10 cops just standing around while people are complaining, no one's coming, no one's coming, you know. And the officers say, I can take that call, you know. We have a such-and-such person on such-and-such street that needs such-and-such help. And if it's not something they want to deal with, you know what I'm saying, we got a bunch of youth hanging on the corner, loitering, and it looks like it turned into some kind of fight. It's very loud. It's very boisterous. We're trying to sleep. They won't go there unless somebody pulls out a knife and sticks somebody, or unless somebody is being chased down the street and beaten to a bloody pulp, or a gunshot goes off. But if you call for that ahead of time, well, I don't want to be bothered with that. They don't answer the call. You know, it's up to the officer to answer the call. They don't get deployed. So I would turn on the GPS. Third, I would probably, like I said before, take this youth department. It was the most ignorant decision, in my opinion, for the commissioner to take this youth department and put it in this public relations department. This youth bureau needs to be out. It needs to be on the street. It probably needs to be beefed up. And it starts needs to be addressing these, like, youth gangs and youth crimes that are the main growth area of crime. And I would also go that they need to be more transparent. We need to start putting the calls up and putting what the police department is doing to build confidence in the community. You know, you, like you say, you can have coffee with a cop and have a photo opportunity. I mean, coffee with a cop or pizza with a cop. Or you let people know, this is what we're doing. This is what your tax dollars are paying for, and this is what's happening. And then you might, even people looking at it might see a pattern. You know, boom, boom, boom. You know, I saw a guy over here doing the same thing at the next door. I think he lives over there. You might even get tips from putting that up. And then, and then people start to trust the police statistics. Right now, the police say safest city, crime's down, everything's wonderful. This is the Disneyland of the East Coast, you know what I'm saying?
But
and people don't have trust.
Statistics.
But they do have trust if they see the numbers right in front of them as they happen.
But, Brian, you haven't seen the statistics. You're just told that the statistics are down.
That's what I'm saying. They should post
stuff. What are they down from? Did we have two incidences or did we have 2,000? What is it? Where did it go from and where did it arrive to?
Yes.
You know,
the only thing you see
like
sometimes is these community, what do they call these? These police community council meetings for each precinct. And you'll have the commander come in, and he might cherry-pick one or two items and talk about how great we're doing in the precinct. And then no one wants to go. Usually in that group is kind of people
real
who are
insiders.
Real insiders. And then, but if somebody does come there with an issue, you know, it's there. And oftentimes they don't even how can I say? It'd be nice if each one of these community things just had all the statistics for that precinct, you know, every month.
Correct.
Boom, this is it. We put them on the website, and here it is in a nice chart. Anybody have any questions, you know? And I think providing more information will provide more tips, which will lower crime over time. But there's a fear in the upper levels of the police department that if we tell the truth of what's happening in Yonkers, people will think we're not doing a good job. We got to keep a lid on this. And it's keeping this lid on this stuff year after year after year.
You only
want to
keep a lid on it because it's not functioning, because they're not functioning. They're not doing their job. If it was functioning, even if you start at a high number, within a month you'd be able to see a diminution and continue to go down, and we would drive those people that conduct illegal conduct outside of Yonkers. It would happen. It takes time, but you need to have a plan. And I guess the people in our police department don't have a plan other than maybe to get a job somewhere else. It's a stepping stone. You watch. You heard my words first. And we're going to have people who are going to jump ship because they use Yonkers as a stepping stone to get out of here. And they're not doing their job in the process. You watch.
Could I add one more idea? I would probably say one other idea.
Absolutely.
I would have. Just as the weather's getting better, I know that in the police intelligence unit above Andrew Stewart-Cousins thing, I mentioned this last week, They paid a lot of money for these very expensive Segways. They got those. I know they put out a press release recently. We got brand new electric bikes. These guys need to be all over the waterfront, South Broadway, Getty Square, the whole downtown, both the bids. Just let them be patrolling, and you'll see things, quality of life issues, start to go down, and especially if they stop. If they just drive by, it doesn't matter. But if they pull up and start, what's going on over here, that'll start to push this stuff, like you say, out. There'll be other places that they could go do this and not do it in our development area.
I don't know. I don't remember if you were here in Yonkers covering the city, but I remember when they had just put together a bicycle group of police officers. I think there were only four on the squad. They patrolled the entire waterfront. They didn't have electrical power so that they could power their bikes. They literally did it with their feet. They were unbelievable. These were like monsters with their feet, and they would be able to track you down so quickly, and nobody bothered with the waterfront. It was safe, and then they got rid of it. And when they destroyed the whole system, and when they did that, crime started to go back up, and they didn't have the brains to figure out what was going on. And that's where it's gone ever since.
You know,
and we don't have a police or a bicycle squad.
I wasn't aware of a previous bicycle squad, but I was aware of the Segways that were supposed to do this. And then now we got new bicycles again. It seems like every few years there's a big press release, and big photo opportunity. We've got this bicycle group, and we're going to start doing is – you know, maybe we'll be active as people are commuting, going in and out from the train stations to their residence. Mm-hmm. Maybe we'll be there when kids are getting out of school at 2:30 type of thing. Maybe we'll just be in general in these areas patrolling around, giving people a sense that giving criminals a sense that this is probably not the place to do this activity, and giving merchants and giving shoppers a sense that it's safe to be here. You know what I'm saying? That you're going to see an officer, a couple officers on bikes going by every now and then at eye level and hear things, see things. They're not driving by at 40 miles an hour. But it seems there's obviously been at least three times that they're going to launch this big bicycle thing or this big Segway thing. And then it's just like for a short time, and then I guess they go into storage, you know. It doesn't go very far.
It's a press release. It's a press release. That's all it's for. And then once it's presented as a press release, people get the impression that it's in place. It may not be in their neighborhood, but they feel secure. They'll go to the restaurants on the waterfront, or they'll go wherever they feel there's security with these sort of Segways in operation with police department. But it's not there. And when your wife has her choker stolen from her neck, while you're an old man, let's say my age, I'm not going to be able to run after you. It's not going to happen. The point is, these are the ploys that lull people into complacency to think that everything is all right. And when you validate it by come up with a number that the police incidences are down, and there's no proof of it, and no video of anything, and we don't know what the numbers are, and you never get and you don't get it covered in every media outlet out there. I spoke to a gentleman yesterday, and I'm so thrilled that he reached out to us, and he wanted to send us a potentially, I don't know if it'll come about. That's why I'm not mentioning his name. But the bottom line is, he wanted to do a press an op-ed piece. Well, great. The point is, he might do an op-ed piece, and then I said, well, why don't you do yourself a favor? Instead of just sending it to us, why don't you send it to everybody in media? Send it to the Yonkers Times and the Yonkers Newswire, and send it to all the other people that are, and the Lohud and all the others. And he said he never thought of that. And lo and behold, it turns out there was a press release that was issued by Governor Hochul. It was published in the Daily News, and it mentioned that it could be replicated, and it went out to every media outlet in the state. So if you wanted to give the Daily News credit, then you gave them credit. Mm-hmm. If you didn't want to give them credit, you could make believe that it was just printed and given to you by Governor Hochul. But mm-hmm. the first day that it got published was in the Daily News. So I noticed that it was published in the Daily News and gave them the credit and the logo. I don't have a problem with that.
No,
that's
shared
the way
that,
it's done, the right way.
Yes, I shared that where you posted that. There was there was an article in the...
But that's the way it should be.
Yeah, no, I agree.
That's the way it should be.
There was an article in the New York Post talking about where there was... a big debate within the Democratic Party over bail reform. Should it be really substantially rolled back? Should it be some targeted reforms, or should it stay as it is? And the governor is looking for like these targeted reforms, which I agree with. You know, nothing's perfect. Mm-hmm. I'm for bail reform. There was a lot of injustices with the way the bail system worked previously, but there's a lot of ignorance, and they went a little too far. There should be some judicial oversight of some of these more serious issues, and I believe in the targeted reforms.
Okay.
I don't believe in revoking bail reform. I think that would bring back other injustices, but press release that you shared from the Daily News that this other person sent around, I shared that too with the Post article, both parts.
And why not?
And
because
there should
the
be
point
more,
is,
I
you
think
reach
there should
a large
be more
audience.
Of,
I reach a large audience. There are other publications that reach a large audience. Some people read more than one. Others don't at all. The point is there's nothing wrong in getting your perspective out there and validating it. And that's the issue. There should be no problem with anything written in the Yonkers Newswire or anything written even in the Yonkers Tribune. The idea is simply to tell it the way it is. If there's an issue, you know these people have the brains, maybe, or at least you hope so, and would challenge if there's a discrepancy there. And why not? I welcome the discrepancy. You prove it to me, and you got it.
Yes.
I don't have a problem. But they have a problem by just giving you the information, and they deny it.
Mm-hmm.
It was interesting. There's no reason in demonizing an operation, but there is an operation in West Sitka County, and I sent an email to the director, and I said to her, I haven't gotten anything from you guys in a few months. What's the problem? Oh, maybe there's a problem at your end. So I said, okay, maybe there's a problem at my end. I never thought about it. So I decided, okay, I don't know what else I could do. I checked with my webmaster and all. We didn't seem to have a problem, but is it
interesting? Your email works,
I made the complaint. The following day, it worked.
Yeah.
It worked anyway.
Yeah.
And then we'll see
if
I get
another notice
today or the day after.
It wasn't broken, now it works.
Now it works.
Yeah.
Isn't that great?
Yeah, it's but I guess that's just government bureaucrats for you. You know, we don't admit to any wrongdoing, but hopefully they'll work.
Maybe in my next, maybe Brian, in my next life, I'll come back. Assuming there is a next life, I'll come back. And I'll go into the public arena. So I could become a dysfunctional.
Well, that's the problem, it's a skill. Let me tell you.
I don't have the skill.
Exactly. I ran for office and was elected once, and it's very difficult. It's a big personality game. It's a big waiting your turn game. It's a big loyal thing. Going against even things that you are for to make sure you can do this later to do that. It's just not my cup of tea. That takes a skill set of and being deceptive sometimes. But it's just, but even what you do too is not easy either. Let me put it to you this way. I wish I had $25, $50 where I saw an advertiser on your website, and then later maybe there was a news article that maybe they might not have liked. You keep a good Chinese wall between who gets promotion in there. They're buying the audience. They're not buying the editorial type of thing. You know what I'm saying? I've seen where you allow, you may have a view about this, you know, personally, I think this, but in your comments, you'll allow both sides to argue it out and go back and forth, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So that's not easy to do, you know what I'm saying?
It's hard.
Yeah, to have, you know, I feel this way, and this is the way it should be, and then you see these comments here, and you know you disagree with them, you know what I'm saying, but you go ahead and allow them mm-hmm. just so there could be this public debate. Or I like that person, or that person promotes of me, or this, that, or another, but mm-hmm. this is really not such a great thing. People need to know about it, you know.
Yeah.
That people don't appreciate how difficult that is, and they just think, oh, you're just doing, no, trust me. There's a couple times you just got to, you know, think and do the right thing. You know, where we ask politicians to do the right thing, so often you have to have in journalism the journalistic balls to do the right thing too.
Exactly. Well, I blame my parents. May they rest in peace. This mm-hmm. is what they taught me, and then I'm still scared to death not to do what they told me. And how they told me, and I don't know. They're not going to come down and strike me, but I just somehow feel this is the right way. You've got to give everyone an opportunity to express themselves, and you never know. Sometimes it may be something that I don't believe in, but
mm-hmm.
if they express it, you start to think maybe there's something there,
mm-hmm.
and you never know because positions can change.
Yeah.
Wherever
oh, yeah.
Mine's
changed over and over and over.
People.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'll put it this way. You know, when you have kind of take it back to where we were, the start to the conversation
mm-hmm.
till now with this issue.
Mm-hmm.
You have the head of community affairs. He's told me this personally. There's been other journalists that he's said this to that have told me that he
yeah.
said it. Basically, you know, you go looking for a press release or you print something that's not right, and then he says, you know,
mm-hmm.
we have to come to an understanding, you know. You have to do this. In other words, kind of like a veiled threat, you're not getting nothing if
mm-hmm.
if you do this, that, or another. And he has
right.
that reputation. Trust me, you don't know how many times I'm getting press releases. All of a sudden, I don't get them for 6 months. All of a sudden, I'm getting them. All of a sudden,
mm-hmm.
I'm not getting them. I've even complained sometimes
right.
to the city council, to the mayor's office. They come back. The previous commissioner, they come back. Even this commissioner, I complain. And they come back
yeah.
and they disappear. You know, it's like a game.
Right.
You know, it just doesn't put them on the list. It goes out automatically. Boom, that's it. So
yeah.
you have some people who go to, I don't know, go to SUNY Purchase and become liberal arts majors and become
mm-hmm.
journalists, or SUNY Buffalo. I don't know where, you know, where they go. NYU maybe even.
Right.
And they're journalists, and they get a job at LoHUD or News 12 or wherever, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And they're told, you know what, don't cross that line, and they don't, you know. They don't cross
they don't.
That line, and they just kind of rewrite a press release and put it up the way the police department wants and don't do a heavy investigative reporting. And you see these people when they get the cutbacks at LoHUD or at News 12.
Yeah.
You don't see them going, you see them maybe leaving journalism. You don't really see them going somewhere else too often. And you feel you do, but
you know
most
where,
of them.
You know where you see them quite often?
Where?
It's really not the reporters. The reporters
mm-hmm.
are good.
Mm-hmm.
The people who make the decision on how the demeanor of an article is going
mm-hmm.
to take are the editors.
Or maybe
the
editors. I'll give you that. But
it's the editors
don't see
that
these people,
told the line.
Even the editors that get shown the door at the
mm-hmm.
Journal News or at News
12,
producers or what
people.
Have you, you don't see these people opening up their own journalism websites. You don't see these people, you know, going
no.
all out in 12 hours a day doing the news year after year because they care. You don't see these people willing to take a lot of crap to tell the truth. You know what I'm saying? But you do see that.
You
like,
know what? Because they're
like
in, they're
yourself,
in the public
like
relations
myself,
business.
But, in my opinion,
but they move
I'm
into
willing
public
to take
relations.
An awful lot of grief to tell what I believe is the truth.
I know, but they avoid that by using their talent to write, and they
mm-hmm.
become public relations people,
mm-hmm.
and they're spinning a tale.
Yes.
That's not news. That's
mm-hmm.
spin. And that's where they go.
Yes.
And that's where those people who can't make it in the media business end up getting a job because there's no other place for them. You know, and the furthest away you can go is just becoming an advertising agency, or you know, knowing how to give expression to a product.
Mm-hmm.
That's about it. But that also takes a tremendous amount of knowledge.
Yeah.
So it is just what it is. What can I tell
yeah.
you?
Well, I think
we don't have
be.
That problem, John. I mean, not John. I was thinking of somebody who's got an opinion.
Yeah.
But we don't have that problem, Brian.
I think there should be a little bit of not for nothing. And it's selfish for me to say it in this way, but there should be a little bit of an appreciation that there are people in the community that will go out of their way to tell the truth, even if they know it's going to cause them some headaches. You know what I'm saying? Know it's going to cause them some grief, because that's the job that they try to do. That's the product that they give you. And I think that's why you're so successful, Ruth's successful, because they people see it.
And you
build
it well.
An audience, and you have an audience, and then people want that audience to promote. You know what I'm saying? And it's sadly, the other news outlets that are just going right down the tubes don't see that they, you know, the product is the news, so that you can have an audience that you can sell. You know what I'm saying? And the people have
right.
to, just like people have to trust the police department, and the police department has to be transparent. People have to trust their news, and it has to be transparent. And people notice when someone's reporting something and someone's not reporting something. People notice when,
absolutely.
You know, the Yonkers Rising doesn't give a shit or is not touching that one, but they notice when it's in the Yonkers Tribune. People notice when Rue Ross shows up for something and News 12 doesn't.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? People notice, and when they notice, they start to make decisions about who they can trust. And when they trust something, that builds an audience, and that audience is valuable because that's an audience that cares in the city of Yonkers. And the police department should also kind of develop that thing. People notice when somebody gets hurt on their street and nobody knows about it. People notice when they call the police and nobody comes. People notice when they go to Getty Square and they see quality of life issues that should be addressed. People notice when their kids come home and they talk about things that happened, you know, after school or whatever, you know, on the bus. And then they don't see nothing about it. And then that's where they start to lose trust in the police department. And when people notice when the police department is just being malicious, you know, when the police department comes on social media and starts attacking reporters, you know what I'm saying, or attacking the sources for a story, instead of just being, you know, a public servant and saying this is the fact. Maybe a reporter gets something wrong. Maybe somebody is misunderstood, and you say, you know,
but that's the point.
This is a rumor, but this is the truth. Boom.
Well,
that
is the point. You got it right. The point is that if there's a discrepancy, and they can challenge it, and they can validate that challenge, give it credence, then they should say, well, you know what, Hezzy, you wrote it incorrectly. This is the truth, and we want you to recognize that and make the correction. That's fine. Give me the proof, and you'll get the correction. I don't want to hear that you tell me. Just show it to me.
Yeah.
Show it to me, and then you'll get it. I don't have a problem. I'm a big boy, and I can tell you when I made a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not going to tell you I made a mistake if I never made one. Because that goes against my grain. That's not a migraine, it's a migraine. So, you know, but you know, it's interesting you bring this up, you know, like getting press releases. By accident, about a month ago, there was a department of the city of Yonkers that ended up sending me an email. I was in shock. I hadn't heard from these people. I don't know what happened. So I figured this person had to be new. So I sent him back a notice that thank you for reaching out to us, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, I appreciate your keeping us informed about what's going on in the department and everything like that. And I thought everything was okay. And then all of a sudden, I didn't get anything. And I noticed that there was news about this particular department. And I said, well, I thought when you sent me notice that you were going to include us into the future, but I haven't heard anything. So is there a problem? Did you add us to the email list? or maybe something happened. It turns out they never bothered. So we're still off and not getting anything from them, which I find really amazing. But they have, you know, the goal, you know, in my world, it's chutzpah. It's the goal. They have the temerity to just go through a process. They bungled it up. They sent me an email, so they always knew who I was. And now they refuse to send me anything. It was just an error on their part. But it's so interesting that they kept it probably segregated from the rest of the list and by accident it meandered into their big list. But we still don't get anything.
Well, this
and it's
is
a waste of time.
This is almost something that befuddles me to no end. If let me put it this way. It's almost like where the head of the community affairs had a YouTube video. It had a lot of views, and he freaked out because you took it down, but he didn't realize that, you know, with this kind of violence, you got to make it age-appropriate if you want it to be posted.
Okay.
And same thing with these press releases. It's maybe not so much in the past that you sent out a press release, and then you had news organizations that felt like they had to rewrite it. They had to call people, get quotes, that kind of thing, you know what I'm saying? Now, with digital media, I get a press release. I'm trying to get out 24 pieces of news a day. I pretty much just label it press release, you know, for immediate release, press release, Yonkers, Department of Public Works, Police Department, whatever it is. Boom, I put it up as is. So these people that Yonkers are paying, very highly paying, and spending a lot of money supporting that get to prepare these press releases don't seem to even understand the basic idea of you send out a press release to Hezzy, to Rue, to myself, I don't know, Delphin, all the other digital media outlets. 8 times out of 10, they're just going to take that press release, label a press release, and send it out. You get that audience for free. You know what I'm saying? Because you're an official voice of a government agency, a government department, or the mayor's office, a police department, fire department, whatever have you. But they feel like it's like some kind of reward if I give you this press release. And maybe that's how it was in the old mainstream news way of controlling things. But, you know, I want to get the thousands, the tens of thousands of readers that Hezzy has, boom, here's your press release. I want the tens of thousands of readers that Rue has, boom, here's your press release. I want Brian. I want Dells. I want whoever else is out there to get this out. And you know what? Not everybody's going to see it out of that audience, but a substantial portion. And you add all those audiences up, there may be some overlap, but you're going to be starting to reach maybe 40% of the city. And the thing is, even when the head of the Community Affairs Department of Yonkers puts something up on his Facebook page and he feels like he did a really great job and he sends it to the Journal News and to, I don't know, News 12 or what have you, and Dan Murphy at the Yonkers Rising, there's a very small audience that goes to that, and there's a very small audience on his Facebook page. You know, you don't see a lot of interaction there. And I'm not saying don't do that. Do that, of course. But I'm also saying send it to these digital issues and reach 40% of the population like that on their phones and boom, you know, and you actually even get some feedback and you'll actually create good relationships with the media, good relationships with the public, and everything goes well. But you have these people that I don't know if they ever studied any media, ever studied any digital media or have any grasp of what really should happen here. It's about reaching people and getting on their phones. Now, they could go and pay Google, Twitter, and Facebook all these sums of money to reach 30 or 40,000 people, 30 or 40% of the people in Yonkers, or they could just, you know, send out the press releases, and you're probably going to reach it. It's called earned media, but they don't understand these concepts. They don't have this training. And they have attitudes that these public documents are somehow gold, you know. It really doesn't make or break my audience if I hear that the Yonkers Housing Authority has signed up with something called Silver Bills and it will help seniors fill out the bills. It's nice that people in Yonkers would know this, you know what I'm saying, and they might have a senior, but whether I push that or don't push that, it doesn't diminish or add to my audience. But you would think that housing authority would want to make sure that you got that, Rue got that, everybody got that, you know what I'm saying, including the mainstream media. But now, I don't know why we're paying these people in public relations and all these departments in the city of Yonkers, and they don't know how to reach all of the media.
Well, actually, because the entire echelon doesn't understand what these people's jobs is or how effective they are,
mm-hmm.
and that's the point. There's no mechanism to trace how effective their work is and what the ramifications of their work is. If they found that out, it would save hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Uh-huh.
Unfortunately, we're going to be thrown off the air in under 10 seconds, so thanks
okay.
again. And I
thanks
didn't
again.
Realize we've been talking for an hour and a half. Have a great
yes.
week. All the best. Thank you.
You too.
Great,
bye-bye now.
Great reporting. Be well. Bye. Here we are, folks. Good day. Thank you. Bye.